Sunday the 3rd of December 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Make Room. Sermon title, Make Room for More. Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Talk by Darrell Williams.
This morning's reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoiced before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this is the word of the Lord.
It's that time of year once again when I open my talk by asking, where did that last year go? This year is no exception, and it feels like it went past even faster than before. Maybe it has something to do with the way we live our lives, and this year it felt like the preparations for Christmas had started even earlier. I was still in denial that we'd reached the end of summer when in ministry meetings and at work we had started talking about winter schedules. I also, around this time every year, in my talks, like to say that it's really important that amongst all the hustle and bustle that's going on around us, that we make sure that we find time for God. For that reason, I'm really pleased to be opening up talks on Make Room this morning, and as we build up to Christmas, we will have that opportunity to spend time reflecting on the true importance of the season. That we are focused on the birth of Christ, the good news of his coming, of that message, and what that means for our faith. We live in a world where we are more connected than we've ever been before. Even our TVs are starting to become smart devices. And if you have the latest technology, you can, in addition to watching TV, download apps and stream your favourite shows direct to your set-top box. We are constantly connected 24 hours a day. I can log into my work desktop at home or browse my emails on my smartphone. Indeed, it's kind of saved me this morning. Then there is social media and there are huge amounts of information we regularly consume. My phone is constantly beeping, alerting me to new emails and notifications from all my different accounts. In a scene from Star Trek IV, where the crew of the Starship Enterprise have travelled back in time to present-day Earth, there's a scene where Scotty attempts to talk to a computer. When a computer does not respond, Bones helpfully passes Scotty the computer mouse, and Scotty replies, "Ah," and then attempts to talk into the mouse before a gentleman standing there advises him, "Please use the keyboard." Yet, a few years later, after this film was released, Many of us are now using tablet devices, which we can give voice commands to. We can talk to our TV sets, our phones, and more recently, there's these new smart players, speakers, where we can talk into these devices and ask for it to play our favourite songs or tell us what the weather's going to be. As a child, I remember BBC used to shut down for the night. I remember a time before we had Channel 5. For my daily news, it was either the 1 o'clock or 9 o'clock news on the BBC or the 10 o'clock news on ITV. Now we have 24 hours of rolling news channels who are able to report on breaking news from almost anywhere around the world. Sometimes I think the world speeds by so fast because we have lost the art of patience and because everything is instant. We are so connected that I think we do not know how to disconnect. I am guilty of this and out of habit check my work emails on my phone at evenings and weekends. I'm always happy to receive emails from my favourite pizza companies. I pour through social media to see what my friends are up to. And I best mention that I also check my emails that are sent out from the church office. We cram so much into our lives, it is no surprise that sometimes you might hear the odd complaint when people say there are simply not enough hours in the day. Another saying is the expression, so much to do, so little time to do it in. Life can feel like it's non-stop and that there is always something that must be done, something to complete, something to get out the way. We can feel like we're under constant pressure in both our personal and professional lives. The notion of stopping, taking a time out, can itself almost lead to feelings of anxiety. We are so used to being busy and connected that it can actually be difficult to take the time to stop. The danger when so much is going on around us is that we can feel overwhelmed by it all and that it makes it difficult to unwind and relax. We are reminded in the Bible the importance of rest, and during this busy time, I urge you all to try and find that little bit of space somewhere. As we approach Christmas, there is so much we'll be expected to do in preparation. There's pulling up the decorations, writing out and sending cards, buying presents, wrapping presents, purchasing food, making plans of who we might visit, where we're going to go and when and so on. The question for all of us throughout this busy period is, do we get our priorities right and make sure that we make room for God? Well, a little word of encouragement. You are here today, the first Sunday of Advent, so that is a good start. But I believe we have to be careful because making time for ourselves, making sure we make time to rest and ensuring that we make time and make room for God, I believe, is a discipline. In my day-to-day job, I work as a personal assistant and my role is all about planning and preparation. I have responsibility for two directors, and if I fail to carry out my duties, if I have a bad day in the office, they will, as a direct consequence, feel that negative impact. Christine might have felt a slight negative impact this morning for my running late, I dare say. My duties include managing diaries, preparing the directors for meetings by printing agendas and papers, as well as ensuring they have enough time to read those documents. There are times where multiple different requests are being demanded of my time and of that of my directors. And the only way to deal with those competing demands is the ability to prioritise. Last year, I was sent on a time management training course to better improve my skills. And one of the things that came up on that course was something known as the Eisenhower Matrix. In 1954 speech to the Second Assembly of World Council of Churches, former US President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was quoting Dr. J. Roscoe Miller, President of Northwestern University, said, "I have two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent." This Eisenhower principle is said to be how he organised his workload and priorities. The Eisenhower matrix consists of four boxes. I don't know if you've ever seen it in work, but I created my own simplified version of this matrix, and I split my tasks into three columns. The first column represents what I need to do now. The second column is the kind of work that I need to get done by maybe the end of the week. And the third column is tasks that are nice to do if I can find the time. An issue I was coming up against was with so much happening, I stopped making room for planning. I was just constantly on the go, on the go, on the go. Since I started making that time for planning, I have been able to stay on top of my duties far better. As we approach Christmas, it is really important that we make time for God. It is important that we get our priorities right. That may sound obvious, but we can easily get swept along with everything we get caught up in doing. What should be in our priority column as Christians? What is important but we need to plan time for? Are there things that we allow to get in the way that can be done later? If we're not careful, instead of celebrating the birth of Jesus and what this means to our faith, we can find ourselves distracted and drawn away from the true purposes of Christmas. We also need to be careful that the reality of the nativity story and the message of the Gospels does not get lost. Christmas is made into a warm and fluffy time where along comes jolly old Santa and the flying reindeers. There are the heartwarming adverts on TV and all the promotions of all the exciting new toys and gadgets. And of course, there's the festive programs and all those exciting TV specials. The reality of the coming of Christ was very different. Jesus at birth was wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger because there was no room in the inn. He was not born into a royal household, and he was greeted by shepherds. When King Herod learned of the birth of Jesus, he planned to have him killed. Joseph is warned by an angel of the plot and escapes with mother and child to Egypt. In one of the most horrifying stories in the New Testament, Herod has every child under the age of two in Bethlehem murdered. Jesus entered a broken and difficult world and experienced what we experienced and knows what we are going through, whether that be good or bad. Christmas, I believe, should be a powerful and wonderful time. It should be a time of joy, of hope, of love, of peace, of forgiveness, where we can look at the future with a sense of renewed optimism. This time of year, I believe, is one of reflection, of renewal, and of growth. We have the opportunity to reflect on the year that is past and consider what building blocks we need to put in place in order to continue to spiritually grow in the future. If we turn to today's passage from Isaiah, it is an amazing prophecy. This passage was written long before the birth of Christ, and yet it describes peace, restoration, and renewal. Look at the promises made. We are told there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress, and that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Israel was often disobedient towards God, yet here is described how God plans to give light back to the world. The nation would be delivered from oppression, and what is even more powerful is not just Israel that would be redeemed, but anyone who is willing to follow the coming Saviour. The passage describes a child whose name would represent divine wisdom and power. It described the fatherly care of people bringing peace, hope, and blessings. I'm sometimes asked whether I really believe the nativity story, or indeed if the resurrection truly happened. Do I really believe that God became man and walked amongst us? Sometimes I think you need to take a step back from theology, from whether the Bible and science is compatible, how the covenantal promises have been fulfilled, and just note that the Bible is an amazing love story. God, who is love, wants his creation to be in a relationship with him. The world became broken, and the only way to repair that broken relationship between man and God was for God himself to take action. This is why Jesus, the Son of God, was born into the world, why he lived amongst us and suffered in our place upon the cross before he defeated death and rose to new life. John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly, and what they have done has been done in the sight of God. May I wish you every joy, peace, and happiness over this Christmas. Amen. Thank you.